Amen. Praise God. Why don't you give a big warm welcome to Brother and Sister Granquist? I'm going to hand over this pulpit to them to sing, to preach, whatever you do, maybe dance, I don't know.
God bless you, God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You're a great group of people. How much we love you. We are so proud of what God is accomplishing through you in Australia. And I'm thrilled to be here today. My wife and I, Nan, we're so thrilled to be with you. And the fact that God is doing such great things here in Australia, I'm thrilled. So my wife and I, we have been a ministry team for, oh goodness, we've been going on 54 years as a ministry team. In fact, it'll be 54 years, December 20, that we're married. And here's the deal. The guy is still crazy about the woman. Yeah. And the guy still chases the woman after 54 years. Don't ever let the romance go out of your relationship, your marriage. Don't let it go out. What a horrible way to live with someone you're not in love with. Wow. And I know love is a commitment, not a feeling. I get that. I know that. But it's so much better when it's a feeling and a commitment. And I'm so thrilled that I can spend life with this woman. So she is going to sing and magnify the Lord in song.
So happy to see you, Sister Parnell. To meet your beautiful son and his family. I know that you and your husband served a long time as ministers of the gospel. Beautiful. I'd like to sing this song. I wrote this 50 years ago, but after I held you and hugged you, I just felt like I might should sing this song. What makes a dying saint lift up his hand and thank the Lord for all the years he was able to stand? Then with a weary sigh,
Lord,
give me a crown to wear. Let me take your hand. Let me understand this is forever. Then lead me. While I run this race, Lord, keep my mind. Oh, while I run this race, Lord, keep my mind. While I run this race, 'cause I don't want to run this race. I'm not gonna run this race. I don't wanna run this race in vain.
Amen. We love Bishop and Lady Downs. No one in the world liked them. And I'm so glad that our friendship has extended all these years. And yes, 10 years ago, it was a privilege and a pleasure to be here to help in your service, because you certainly have not retired. You know, I know it's been said before, but he has definitely refired, but even more than refired. I mean, he's turbocharged. This guy is something else. We love him so much. And Lady Downs, there's nobody like her. And all of you know this already, but let me just preach to the choir. If she is your friend, you have it made. Literally, literally, you have it made, because she is a friend's friend. No one like her in the whole world. And then I am so thrilled. Yes, yes. Give it up for her. Amen. And they're wonderful people. And then the younger Downs. Wow. This guy is doing a phenomenal job. Your pastor. I love this guy. And his beautiful wife and sons. My goodness. They're doing such a great job. And it's probably been said before, and we honor what's happened here already, but the sky is the limit for you guys. The sky is literally the limit. God is going to do miraculous things, building on the foundation that Bishop Downs built and Lady Downs. God is going to do amazing things through these people and through you, the church family. Great things are ahead. Miracles and miraculous. God is going to do great things. And then where is Ruth? Sunday school. That's right. Okay. And her husband's gone. That's right. Okay. Great people. You're so blessed to have people like this on your team doing great things for God. And what about this ministry team? Huh? wow, what about this ministry team that God has put in this church? You have such a great foundation. I'm so thrilled. Please keep me posted on the miraculous miracles that happen here as God moves you guys forward. Please keep me posted because I want to hear all about it. Amen. So what I've done is I've changed my sermon. So the multimedia team does not even know what in the world I'm going to preach. Okay? But I have a message I feel like God has given me for you. I want to talk about miracles never look like miracles. Miracles never look like miracles. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, and starting with verse number 1, then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord hath not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Please notice that. Moses is fleeing from his miracle. He fled from it. But what did the Lord say? But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Miracles never look like miracles. They just look like problems and dilemmas. The backstory. God is calling Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They're on the backside of the desert. The bush is burning, and God speaks to him because God is going to commission him. But like so many of us, when God calls us to do something, we cop out. We said, oh, we can't do that. What if they don't believe us? What if they won't receive us? And we cop out. So God is trying to reassure Moses that he is with him. So what he needed was a sign. And so he had a staff in his hand, shepherd's staff. God says, throw it on the ground. He throws it on the ground, and it became a snake. And what did Moses do? Moses ran from his miracle. But God said, reach out and take it by the tail. And when he did, it became a staff again in his hand. For 10 years, my wife and I evangelized all through the United States and overseas. After 10 years, my wife and I were getting just a little bit weary. We knew that God maybe had something else for us. And so we got this call. We were preaching a revival in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And for some reason, I was staying at the pastor's house. I never answered a pastor's phone. But the phone rang, and I don't know why, but I answered the phone. And it was Jim Shoemake from San Jose, California, presbyter at the time. He said, there's a church in my section here open. I want you to come and try out for it and preach for them. I said, well, you know, that church in Menlo Park has a reputation. They have the reputation of being the preacher's graveyard. So pastors go there and they die. And they kill one, then they bring in another one. And I thought, you know, I'm not really in for dying right now. And so he said, but I want you to come, and I want you to preach there. So in the last year of our evangelistic ministry, we bought a little house in Tulare, California. My parents built homes, and so we bought a little farm home that they had built. And I was really happy with that accommodation because after traveling, we could come in and rest for a minute and then go back out. And so I was in that little home, and I'd already went and preached for this church. And I told them, I said, you know, thank you, but no thank you. The elder of the church followed me out to the parking lot with tears streaming down his face, and he said, God told me that you're the man. I said, in all due respect, elder, I do appreciate the fact that you believe I can do it, but I just can't. I can't do that. And so I went home, and I was working in my garden, and I love to grow things. 45 antique rose bushes now. I cannot surpass Lady Downs. Lady Downs is a supreme gardener. Her backyard looks like a nursery. And so I can't outdo her, but I have 45 antique vintage roses. I love to grow things. So I was in my little garden growing, and I was weeding, and then all of a sudden I heard a voice. And the voice was clear, and there was a field and a fence in the field behind. And I thought someone was talking to me from over the fence. And this is what they said: "Do you love me?" Looked around, kind of scary. Looked around, nobody there. I said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And then this is what God, I've heard the audible voice of God twice in my ministry. This was the first time. And then God said, "If," he put the preface on, "if you love me, take my church in Menlo Park." God, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this, but God is speaking to me. Do it. So I said, "Yes, Lord." I went in. My wife was in the kitchen doing what she loves to do, cooking. And thank you for buying her cookbooks, and thank you for buying my book. You're only the second church that I've taken my brand new book to, and you bought them all. So if you want more, hey, look here. I'll get you some more. Okay. Anyway, my wife loves to cook, so she was in the kitchen. And I went in. I said, "Honey, God just spoke to me, and we have to go to Menlo Park by Stanford University and take this little church." My wife is a great woman of faith, but she hit her knees and said, "Oh my God, no. We can't." I said, "Honey, God told us we have to go." And of course, she accepted the call graciously and did what she didn't want to do, because I was doing what I didn't want to do. So we went and preached for the church. There were 8 members. Preached for the church, told them that we'll come and take the church. And so they had a vote. They voted 6 yeses and 2 noes. I was devastated. I called Brother Shoemake. I said, "I can't do it. I didn't get a full vote." And Jim Shoemake always talked straight to me, said, "Suck it up, son. It's the will of God." Now, here's the deal. 2 of them were mentally challenged severely. They voted yes. The only thing the little board required is that I'd be full-time. Full-time? San Francisco Bay Area? Really? Full-time? Yes. If we vote you in, full-time. So being a great man of faith, I said, "How much comes in?" They said, $150 a week. I'd already looked at a home, my house payment, and if you could get a house for this now in San Francisco Bay Area, you'd be lucky. You know, it's impossible, actually. $1,200 a month. So I did the math real quick. $150 a week, 4 times that, whatever. Not enough to even make the house payment. And I thought, oh. But the Lord kind of, not audible, but whispered in my ear, said, "I will take care of you." And then he put a number that I would make, a figure I would make each week. So I said, "Okay, we'll do that." But see, miracles never look like miracles. It just looks like a church that's down on its luck, a church that kills preachers. Miracles never look like miracles. They only look like problems. But what happened was, I started teaching Bible studies. I started teaching Bible studies to people that were unsaved and hungry. And God started moving. We taught a Bible study in San Mateo, in this little apartment, and these people were so dreadfully poor that they had blow-up furniture. They didn't even, and egg crates for end tables, and they were so dreadfully poor, and yet he had a great job. But I taught them, and they came in, they got baptized, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And this man happened to be a specialist in demolition. He drove a big 18-wheeler. And so he was tearing down a building in San Francisco on the Barbary Coast, which used to be, back in the 20s, it was famous for gambling casinos. And he's tearing down this building, and the debris in his double-wide big 18-wheeler. And he's driving the debris to the dump. And the Lord speaks and says, "Pull over and dig in your truck." Dig in my truck. Pulls over, and he gets in the back of his truck. And his buddies, who are driving at the same job, driving by him, they're honking at him. They're saying, Bob Haney's lost his mind. What he's lost it. He's digging in his truck. But as he starts to dig in his truck like a dog, he said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it like a dog. Gets on all fours and starts throwing debris between his legs. And the third handful, American silver dollars start falling between his fingers. He says, oh, I get it. Dig in my truck. The safe had broke open in the back of his truck, which contained, get this, $10,000 in face value of silver coins. If he would have drove in the dump and dumped that, it would have become the property of the dump. But on the outside of the dump, he filled up two of his backpacks full of silver dollars, silver halves, silver quarters, silver dimes. $10,000 in face value. He gets home to his little apartment, and he drops one of the backpacks and silver dollars fall out. And his wife says, my God, we're rich. He said, no. My pastor needs a new roof on his church building. My pastor needs to paint his church. He said, honey, I have to take that to the man of God. Because the man of God said, I'll be full time on $150 a week, and I couldn't even survive. He brought it in on a midweek service, Thursday night, 10 people there in the midweek service. Little ushers stand up there with their plates, and he dropped one backpack in one offering plate and the other in the other, and the ushers almost hit their knees from weight. God provides for us because miracles never look like miracles. They just look like problems. They just look like difficulties. And when you say yes to God, you're complaining about what you're going through. You're complaining about that hardship that you're going through right now. But could it be that that is actually a miracle in disguise? And what you need to do, rather than run from it like Moses ran from the snake, what you need to do is embrace it. Reach out and get a grip on it and say, I don't understand it, but I'm going to hold on to this thing until it materializes and becomes a miracle. Because miracles never look like miracles. They only look like problems and difficulties. And God, oh, God came through time after time. We were winning these Korean people, lovely people, and they were coming, and they didn't understand anything about Pentecost, and they were coming, and God was bringing them in, and it was beautiful. And one Sunday morning, this wonderful man who had a dry cleaning business in Menlo Park, and he was doing dry cleaning for all the celebrities and the 49ers and people that were at Stanford, and he had an amazing business, and he walked in with this big, thick envelope on a Sunday morning and handed it to me personally. And he said, this is for the church. And I, being a great man of faith, I thought it was full of $1 bills. So I gave it to my wife. My two little kids are sitting in the back seat. Heidi and Mindy are in the back seat. We're going home from this service, and I just kind of pitched the envelope over to my wife and said, hey, count this thing. I think it's full of ones. My wife said, honey, there's 20s in here. I said, oh, my, keep digging. Honey, there's $50 bills. Honey, there's $100 bills in here. God takes the miracle. It doesn't look like a miracle. It's just like somebody visiting and really is not tied in yet, and yet God takes what doesn't look like a miracle and turns it into the miraculous. We had miracle after miracle after miracle from people that you would never even dream that they could even add anything to the kingdom of God. But here's the deal. Whenever you have that difficulty and that problem, don't run from it. Embrace it. Try your hardest to understand what God is doing through that situation, through that circumstance. And then when you do that, See, my wife, she is a soul magnet. And anybody, we were in Houston the other day. We're helping with Brother Arliss Glass's celebration of life, his funeral. And we go out to Papa Do's, which if you never eat a Papa Do's when you go to America, it's seafood. It's the best in the world. Get the crawfish gumbo or get the crawfish etouffee. It's phenomenal. Anyway, we're getting this meal, and then there's this table behind us, and I think, okay, Nan's going to be up to her stuff. She's going to do it. So she goes over, and she starts witnessing to them, just inviting them to Brother Gurley's church, and Hope King there goes to Brother Gurley's church and inviting them to church. And then what she didn't realize is she picked up one of these guys' phones, thinking it was her phone because it looked just like her phone. She stole the phone of the person she's witnessing to. Wow. So we had this miracle encounter where Jeremy Foster and his new wife was coming over to the house, and they came over to the house because they wanted to do something there for Nan. And so I got a chance to actually talk to this incredible man. For 5 years, he had the fastest growing church in America. And so we got this chance to talk to him, and he talked about his life, how God had helped him with this horrible mistake he'd made in his life. And then he said something that just moved my heart. He said, "Would you pray for me?" So here we are in this home of Hope King, and we're praying for Jeremy Foster, and tears start streaming down his face, falling onto his T-shirt. And then Hope King said, "Okay, Nan's going to give you guys a concert." So now we pull up two chairs, Nan gives them a concert. God starts moving again. They're crying, they're praying again. And then Nan looks down at her phone, and there's a picture of a gentleman on there that's certainly not anything to do with Nan's phone. And he's trying to change all the security on our home, his Apple ID, the bank accounts, and we freak out. Literally freak out. So Jeremy gets on this laptop, tries to figure out how to close stuff down, and I'm on the phone to the bank. And then Tim King comes from the back of the house, says, "Nan, is this your phone?" Nan had stole the guy's phone. And then, as you know, if you have an Apple phone, there's a tracker on it. And then the comment was made, they're going to drive up any moment. Any moment they're going to drive up. And sure enough, we look out the window, a car with black tinted windows drives up, and we think, oh, man. Jeremy lifts his hands and runs out the front door and says, "Don't shoot. I'm coming behind him with my hands raised, and then Nan's coming with the phone. Get out there." The guy starts laughing. Hand his phone back, and then Nan says, the lover of souls, Nan says, "Okay, come on in. We're going to have a concert now." Total, complete strangers, four of them. "Come on in, gonna have a concert." Come into her home, strangers. Starts playing, tears start streaming down these guys' faces. They said, "Sing another," six songs. "Now let's have a prayer meeting." Get in a circle, start praying. They're crying. Miracles never look like miracles. They just look like stolen phones. They look like stolen phones. But when God is in something that's happening in your life, He will use it for the miraculous, because miracles never look like miracles. So what I want you to do is embrace that difficulty. Turn it over to God today. He can take that horrible situation and turn it into the miraculous. And time and time and time again, God does that for us. Why? Because miracles never look like miracles. They only look like problems. Could you stand with me, please? Here's what I want all of you to do. I want you to pack into this altar, guests, visitors, everyone. I want you to come and stand around this altar, and I want you to give God that hurt, or give God that difficulty, or give God that impossible circumstance, that impossible situation. I want you to turn it over to Him, and what we're going to believe and trust is that God will take that situation and turn it into the miraculous, that God will transform that situation, that circumstance, that difficulty, that problem, that God will turn it into something supernatural, something miraculous, and He'll turn it around. Because, oh, God is so good at turning things around. God is so good at taking hurts and healing them and making them productive in your life. We only grow when we're hurt. We only grow when something bad happens to us and we overcome it. Don't hold on to the hurt. What I want you to do is I want you right now with hands lifted, hearts lifted heavenward and say, God, here's that hurt. I don't understand why it happened. Why did they say that? Why did they do that? Why did they do that, Lord? But give that to Him with everything that you have. Give that hurt right now. Yes, it's still fresh. Yes, tears still flow when you think about it. But give it to Him. Give it to Him. Turn it over to Him. Rely upon Him. Reach out and grab it by the tail. See what God can do with it. See what God can do for you when you give it to Him. Because miracles never look like miracles. They only look like snakes and difficulties. Give it to Him. Go ahead, praise team. Go ahead.